Good morning. Good greeting. That's awesome. So how many of you in the past few weeks has written 2024 when you've signed documents? How many times? Have you over that yet? I am proud to say, and I guarantee you tomorrow I'll probably break this, but I have not made the mistake once, and I'm actually shocked that I can remember anything. Until somebody calls me back and tells me I filled out a form incorrectly with the wrong year. But we're going to pray that didn't happen. Amen? Awesome. We're so glad you're here with us today. It was a bit of a cold week. And thank you to all of those who braved the cold in the early morning at 6:30 to 7:30 to come pray. We had an amazing time. And I was energized and filled up with the time we spent praying together. And I'm excited for tonight. So if you can... We only plan to keep you here for an hour tonight, 7 to 8 o'clock, but we want to invite you to come and pray with us and pray together with us. Amen? Amen. Let's start this year right, believing what God's going to do for us. We have some news, exciting, and I got mixed emotions about it. I'm not going to lie, a little bit, but I'll call Jonah and Tori to come up. Jonah graduated from Bible College just less than a year ago, correct?
Yeah, 2023.
Let me get a mic because I'm going to let this man tell his own story rather than me try to tell it for him. But here you go. So maybe one of you tell, if you don't mind, just talk a little bit about what's going on in your life recently.
Yeah, so hi, everybody. Good morning. The Lord has called Tori and I to St. Catharines. I've accepted a position as a youth and young adults pastor, so we're going to be moving to St. Catharines. We're very excited, very thrilled, a lot of emotions for sure. Tori's been here for her whole life, so I'm going to pass the mic to her and give her the opportunity to just share a couple words.
I'm thankful there's Pastor Peter's tissue box here.
Yeah.
So... who knew that we would, well, God knew. God knew that we would be called into the ministry in this capacity. And, yeah, as you were saying, Pastor Peter, Jonah graduated in 2023, actually. It's been a blur.
Been a blur, yeah.
Total blur. And has always had something specific on his heart for, pastoring and evangelical work. And, has such a heart for evangelism. And like Jonah said, we are moving to St. Catharines fairly shortly. So it's going to be a huge shift, but a really good one. We feel at total peace. This has been my home church for 29 years. My parents met here. My grandmother was one of the founding members, the 12 founding members of the Christuskirche in, I don't know what year, I'm so sorry. I'm very grateful for this church body. I know that we are all one big church, and, so it's very bittersweet. And I'm thankful for all the opportunities that I've had here and how everyone's been such a vital part of my life and my upbringing and shaping me into who I am today. It's not just mom and dad, it's a community. I'm going to stop now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, this is still your home church, and we hope that you visit home often, both of you. And when you come home, I want it to feel like home. And, I've been getting to know both of you over the last year and enjoyed it so much, your beautiful soul and your heart to serve and willingness to be involved and just... yeah, and Jonah and I have had multiple coffees and stuff over the last year or so, and I got an email from him last Sunday, and he says, to tell me about this position, and he says, next Sunday's going to be our last Sunday. I'm like, come again? I'm like, whoa, and then he says, the next Sunday we're starting. I'm like, what? That's fast, man, whoa. And so we're all processing real quick right now, I just want to say that we love. I'm going to invite my wife to come on up here with me. And I know a lot of you would like to come up and just surround her, but I don't know if we can fit you all up here. So we'll just, my wife and I will stand here in proxy for you all. Is that okay? And we're just going to pray because I want Warden to be a church that sends out. Amen? Amen. And so we want to pray blessing on their life. I know God has already got massive plans for you, and he's working it out. And the biggest and the most courageous thing to do, as I talked about last week, is, you know, we inquire of God, and then he speaks to us. And the courageous part is to listen and to do what he says.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to wait for doors to open and apartments to materialize and adjustments and stuff. But you know what? God is in all of it. And he loves you guys. And just enjoy the process and watch God do the work ahead of you. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we love you so much, Lord Jesus. Lord, this is bittersweet, Lord. We love them. We're happy to send them out in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that you've already gone before them, Lord Jesus. You spoke to them. Lord, this is obedience, Lord, which is why, oh God, we can get behind it and push and encourage and just speak life into them, Lord Jesus, because they're listening. They're taking this courageous step to listen and to step out to where you are leading them. And so, Father, we know, oh God, that you're going to bless this church through them, Lord. And I pray that you will bless this church abundantly. Bless the lead pastor, oh God. Bless the city that they're going to go to, oh God. Use them. Lord, we look forward to hearing of the testimonies that of what you're doing in their life and you're doing through them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love them so much. We are going to miss their beautiful souls here at Warden for sure, oh God. But I pray, oh God, that you would bless them. Let them be aware, oh God, of the anointing you've placed on their life to do this. And so, Lord, we trust and we know that you go before them, oh God, and we lift them up in prayer, and we will continue to lift them up in prayer and cover them in prayer. And Lord, to be here with them when they need prayer, oh God, because this is home. This is their home church. And Lord, we just love them and we send them out, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we all agree together when we say it. Amen. I love that word, amen, because it means let it be so. And so let it be so. Amen. We love you guys. And so anything you need, I'll bless you guys. And Jonah. Maybe give him a hand, guys. Oh, just one second. I always forget the details. That's why she's here. Any other husband like that? You forget the details and your wife keeps you straight? Some of you are, and the rest of you are lying. It's kind of apropos this morning that I get to talk to you about encouragement. And hopefully these words are a great encouragement to this young couple that's going to go out and do ministry, and hopefully it's an encouragement to you today. But imagine approaching your pastor or your mentor or somebody that you look to for advice or whatnot and guidance and encouragement, and the convo kind of goes something like this. You go into your pastor, you say, "Pastor, I really need some guidance. I am so confused." And he says, "Well, if you change your thoughts, you'll change the world." You say, "But I'm getting older and I don't feel settled." "Well, don't count the days. Make the days count." "But Pastor, I hate my job." "Well, Confucius said that if you choose a job you love, you never work a day in your life." "Or if I've tried so many things, you know, Lord, I failed so many times, Pastor, what do I do?" "Well, every failure is a step to success." "But I don't think I have the energy to try again." "Well, Nelson Mandela said, you know, it's always seems impossible till it's done." Maybe you, pastor says, "How?" You say, "Pastor, how can I be so sure?" "Well, when nothing's sure, everything is possible." "I don't know, Pastor. It has always been my dream to do whatever it is. If you can't dream it, you can't achieve it." "But I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do it, Pastor." "If you never try, you'll never know." "But Pastor, you know, I'm not the spring chicken anymore." C.S. Lewis said, you are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream." "But I'm just so discouraged. I have had so many setbacks. "Well, life is like a photograph. You need the negatives to develop it." "But I can't take another negative." "Well, every cloud has a silver lining." Now, doesn't that just make you feel so patronized? I'm reading that and I'm like, oh my gosh, I would never, like, as a pastor, it makes me cringe. If somebody ever came to me and you went for to talk to your pastor and they told you this is the advice they give, just cliche after cliche after cliche, you certainly would feel patronized and certainly not encouraged. Well, William Arthur Ward is an American motivational writer, and he once said that, he says, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Maybe don't agree with that part so much. But he says, encourage me and I will not forget you. The last part of that quote is what we need to hear and focus on this morning. The people who take the time to lift us up when we are down gain great influence in our lives. I thank God for the many encouraging people I have had in my life and helped me to use my giftings and trust God for my opportunities. And I've literally had people who have seen giftings and almost got behind me and pushed and said, you need to do this. You need to go do that. I mean, I never led worship a day in my life until I was about a year into my first pastorate. And I got encouraged by the lead pastor that was there to, you know, keep working on the guitar. You're doing so good. And I was like, well, I've never sang in public before. And he's like, well, he says, you sing well. And I'm like, I don't believe you. And here I am 23 years later, and I've been leading worship for 20 years. My last job was focused around leading the worship and the front of house ministry for 5 years. And I was sought after, and the man called me, and he said, I want you for this. And even then I was like, really? You want me to do that? And through the encouragement of great people like Keith Neal and Blake Davison, you know, I am who I am. People like Claude Kippenhook and Gerald Kippenhook, my parents, who have looked at me and say, you can do this. You were built for this. And they remind you and they encourage you. And these people become the people of influence in our lives. I thank God for the many encouraging people I've had in my life that helped me to use my giftings. I thank God for the emails you send during the week to encourage me, the phone calls, and how amazing you guys are as a church family. And you need to pat yourself on the back because Carrie Ann and I feel lifted up on a daily basis. When we encourage, we inspire with courage. That's why it's so important to listen when God speaks, is because we're inspired with courage and we get injected with hope. We infuse people with support and we build their confidence. We are agreeing to come alongside them. Walking a journey with someone is one of the greatest encouragements. It takes courage to invite and to allow someone in on your journey. Sometimes we get way too possessive over our journey. This is my journey. I need to do it myself. If I'm going to feel a sense of achievement, I need to do this on my own. And I'm telling you, that's a lie of the enemy. Nobody does anything on their own. We're not meant to live that way. We were meant to be social people. We are meant to be family. We are meant to be a body of believers. We are meant to encourage and to lift each other up. It is easy to misinterpret what encouragement actually is. Results do not always lead to encouragement. We think if we just get this area in our life, if we can just do this, then we'll live a more encouraged life, that we'll feel better about ourselves. But results don't always lead to encouragement. If you wonder if that's true, then listen to the many testimonies of the many people, the affluent people, actors and people on TV and different things who tell you that, you know, even last year, I think Jim Carrey did an interview and he talks about, you know, I have all the money in the world, he says, but it doesn't provide me with anything that I really need. It's easy to get caught up in results. I remember as a father during COVID-19, anybody with me? Whew. Yeah, little kids or teenagers during COVID-19, and you had to become a teacher. You had to become a full-time parent at home. You're not going to work anymore. And people say, well, yes, what you signed up for. Yes, but we're supposed to get a break when they go to school, aren't we? I have to admit there were times where I struggled to be encouraging. I have such a deep respect for the teachers who can remain encouraging and manage their expectations for their students they have been entrusted with. But being a parent with my kids and encouraging them while trying to help them with their homework was pretty hard at times, especially when you're trying to get your own work done at the same time and you're trying to balance things out. I remember one time we were recording worship in our living room, and we would It's so weird. When you come up here and you lead worship and people are with you, you don't focus on the mistakes. But it seems like when you're home and a camera's in front of you, every mistake just seemed to stick out. And so we ended up stopping and recording the worship multiple times sometimes. And this one day we were having so much trouble just getting a clean set of three worship songs singing together without getting coughing or something happening. And we were just about to finish the last song. And I'm looking at the camera as in front of me, and you can see a little monitor. And all of a sudden, and I see this little blonde head, boom, 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 run across in front of the camera. And I'm like, oh, we had to do it again. And I don't remember how many more times we had to do it after that. It was difficult to be encouraging, and it exposed some things that I needed to deal with in my life at that time. And yeah, it was pretty transformational time in my life, but with the encouragement of the people around me, it became a very amazing time in my life, and a time that I look back now and I can see the bright signs and the things that came out of it, and I'm so thankful for that. But what I had to learn, and my kids would attest to, is that I am still learning that encouragement achieves more in my children's lives than frustrated commands and expectations. Still learning that. Any other parents with me? No? So y'all just encouraging, you just every day, you know, like something happens and you're just, boom, you got it, locked in. Encouragement is so important in our lives. Let's look at some ways that the church, as a church, that we should be an encouragement. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the greatest encouragement I receive every day is listening for your voice, opening your word, and letting you fill my day and lead my steps. But Lord, we are called to encourage. We are called to build each other up in the most holy faith. We are called to lift each other up. And you even given us this wonderful thing called prophecy, Lord Jesus, which is for our edification, exhortation, and our comfort. And we thank you for that today. So, Father, as we look at your word, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive from you and that we would leave here feeling encouraged for having heard your word today. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Give me clarity of thought and speech as I present your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing we need to understand as a church, and that we should be in becoming a church who encourages, that we need to encourage through trust and safety. So Luke 19, 10, verses 1 to 10, one of my favorite stories in Scripture, and I think I even maybe preached on it here in the past, but it's a story of Zacchaeus, and the story kind of goes like this. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. May God bless the reading of his word. You may feel like this is a weird passage to use to talk about encouragement, but the truth is Zacchaeus would have stayed up in that tree had Jesus not encouraged him that day. We underestimate how easy it is to encourage. I remember as a kid coming home, you know, and as I would approach our house, you know, we'd always look out the window. You see the house coming around the corner. There was a patch of trees. And once we got past that trees, there was one house and another house and a seat. And I would always look in the driveway. And when I would look in and see my dad putting something in the back of the van, I'm like, oh, I wonder what we're doing now. And especially when I saw him put our fishing rods in the back of the van. And, you know, when I saw that, a bad day all of a sudden became very good. You know, I was encouraged by the fact that my dad was thinking ahead and planning something for us. And we would come home and literally get off the bus and we would throw our backpacks in the house and maybe grab our rubber boots or whatever we needed and jump in the van. And we would go just in Newfoundland. It's a wonderful place. You can find almost any pond or any lake anywhere and it'll have trout in it. And we would go explore and find a new place to go. And it was such an encouragement to spend those times with my dad. It's amazing how that quality time, that time with my dad, would just fix a bad day right away. And we always loved it. We always looked forward, and we created so many great memories doing these kind of things. Now, Zacchaeus was a cast out. It says he's a chief tax collector, which means he was basically societal pariah. Basically, he was a Hebrew who had been, you know, hired by the Romans to take taxes from his own people. And the way he made money is that he would ask for more than the taxes were worth, and he would take off the top, and he became very wealthy doing this. So he was a degenerate. So when they looked at him and said, he's going to eat with a sinner, they knew what they were talking about. He was a cast out. He was an untrusted tax collector. He was doing what he believed he needed to survive in the world he lived in, but Jesus showed him a better way. How differently would things have gone if Jesus said, come down out of that tree, you degenerate? Just think about it. He probably would have been completely within his rights. If anybody could look at someone and point out their sins, it was Jesus. He could have said, come down out of that tree, you degenerate. How dare you think you're worth getting my attention? Think about it for a moment. Jesus did not have to encourage him. He certainly didn't have to go to his house and have hospitality and spend social time with him, which was a great honor in that day for a teacher to come to your house and to eat with them. It spoke and said that you're welcoming these people into your circle. You're giving them the place of honor at your house. Instead, Jesus ended up at Zacchaeus' house to spend the day with him. A little different response than anyone in the crowd would have expected. Zacchaeus was someone who was searching desperately for something more and found acceptance, found trust, and he found safety with his Savior. The church is meant to provide that same safety and that trustworthiness. People are more likely to want to come to or come back toward in full gospel if we choose encouragement instead of the societal expectation of judgment. And unfortunately, many people in society today look at the church and all the first thing they think about is judgment. Safety and trust provides the encouragement people need to come down out of the tree they're watching from. People are curious. And a lot of people are stretching their neck, trying to see what the church can offer them. And when they get the right vantage point, they oftentimes don't like what they see and experience. And that's unfortunate. I'm reading a book today, currently called Bullies and Saints. And it looks at the very true history of the church. And there's a lot of things in life that we did as a church that really didn't fit the ideology that Jesus gave us to follow. And we got to be honest about those things. And as a church, when we make mistakes, we got to stand up and say, I made a mistake. I'm sorry I treated you that way. Because we're human. And one of the first things that people say to me, and I did this at high school all the time, one of the things my parents always taught me, when people come up to me in high school, says, I can't believe you just said that. I can't believe you do that. You know, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? I says, I'm trying. I'm doing my best, but I do make mistakes. I'm sorry, please forgive me. It's one of the most important lessons I ever learned growing up. And I'm going to tell you, shut down a lot of persecution. A lot of people, when they heard that, they were stunned that I would say it that way. But I would tell them, I'm sorry. You know, Christians are not exactly perfect. I'm trying my best. If I offended you, I'm sorry. Diffuses the situation. And all of a sudden, you know, the next thing you know, those people I say that to are coming to me looking for advice. And then God speaks to me about the call of God on my life. He says, this is what I called you to do. To encourage, to lift people up, to build people up. People are curious. You may not think they're watching the church, but they're watching the church. They're watching how you act. They're watching what you say. They're watching what you do. And you're not putting on a show for them. You're doing it for Jesus. You're living for Jesus. You're kind and you're encouraging because Jesus was kind and encouraged to Zacchaeus. And he was kind and encouraging to you when he invited you into this family. And that's why we share this encouragement. That's why we share the joy that's in our heart. The church should also encourage through inclusion. People want to belong somewhere. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let's be clear. I'm not saying that inclusion this morning equates with compromise. I'm not saying that you just include everybody because, you know, and ignore certain situations and whatnot. But this family is open to whoever comes and seeks the name of Jesus. Amen? Anyone who's searching and they come in, if you expect only perfect people to walk in the door, then we all need to go back out that same door because we got it messed up. This is a place where broken people come because they need Jesus. Even Jesus said he didn't come for the healthy. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came for the sick, those who need him. Let's be clear this morning. We're not talking about inclusion doesn't equate to compromise. I'm not saying that we need to be wish-washy with our faith so that we don't stand for anything and because we're worried about offending people. I'm going to tell you something. Church is going to offend people whether you like it or not. Some people are going to be offended by our faith no matter how encouraging, no matter how nice we are. But what a Christian says should add value to a conversation. Our words should be uplifting or helpful, and if not, they should be few. Have you ever thought that? Before you hear something, and it's sitting in your craw, it's bothering you, but you're sitting there, and it's like, I got to say something, but you don't really know what to say yet. And so you begin to pray, and you say to the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes and tells you to say something that's so much more benevolent, so much more nicer than you were planning to say. And you're like, well, I don't want to say that. And then all of a sudden you're arguing with the Holy Spirit. You ever been there before? I had some better things in the barrel to say than that, God. You know, I'd much rather pull the trigger on those things. But God says, no, 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 no. You look at that person, you say, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to spend the day with you. You show them love. Show them grace. You show them the thing that this world so desperately needs is mercy and kindness and compassion. And let them know that it's okay if we disagree on all things. We can still be friends. It gives no value to anyone, Christian or otherwise, if we join another person in complaining and grumbling. Uh-oh. There is no value in it. We may even agree with what is being complained about, but what is better, to be quiet and stop the flow of grumbling so something constructive can be done about it, or just jump in and complain in the complaint pool and splash around compounding the problem? Sometimes, you know, I'm not saying you can't have a grievance with somebody in a church or have a grievance with your pastor. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, have concerns and stuff. But what I can say is that maybe you need to pray about those and ask God, how should I present this? How should I come? You know, you have a problem. You know, we're told not to come before the table of the Lord when we have unforgiveness in our heart. And so there's times where we got to walk across the room and we got to deal with some of that within the church body. Is it just me? Are we all here today? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, but the temptation is to just be angry and find someone that will listen to you and agree with you and listen to your complaints and grumble. But that is not what God does. That's not what God calls you to do. God calls you to come back to him in those moments and say, God, I got a problem here. I got unforgiveness in my heart, and I do not want to come before your table. I do not want to say that I remember what you did on the cross if I'm not going to do what your cross provided me to do. And sometimes we got to walk across the room and deal with these things. But it's so much easier to jump into the pool of complaint and grumbling and splash around. Sometimes we even leave feeling better about ourselves, not knowing the damage we're doing. Agreeing with someone else's complaint is not inclusion. It is mere commonality at best and will only push someone farther from the church and from God, not closer. An attractive response is one that is full of grace. It is full of mercy. It is full of empathy. It is a response that leads to truth and understanding. It is a thoughtful response that tells the person you're talking to that I have thought about this. I have contemplated this. I have talked to the King of all kings about this. And the Spirit of God is now bearing witness between us because I'm coming with his grace and with his mercy and with his empathy. And I'm not coming to look at you and say, come down here, you degenerate. I got something to tell you. I'm coming to tell you, say, listen, can we sit down and eat together? Because we got something to deal with. Zacchaeus had likely not felt a part of anything for a long time. He was desperate enough to climb a tree, a sycamore fig tree, which is native to the area in Jericho that he was in. And we need to understand that. I just want to point out the historical accuracy of that and the biblical relevancy of that. He was in a sycamore fig tree. He climbed a tree because he was desperate. Jesus saw his desperation. He was desperate enough to climb this tree to create an opportunity to change that. How desperate are you for an opportunity to change your circumstances? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, it says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And then we know about this gentleman in Acts, Barnabas, that we know is, his name means the son of encouragement. It tells us in Acts 4:36. Acts 11:22-23, talking about Barnabas, it says, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw this evidence of God's blessing. He was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. How important is the Barnabases in our church? How important it is to have these people who are the son of encouragements, the daughters of encouragement in our church. And reminded today that the third thing is that we must encourage through advocacy. I don't know if you've ever had somebody who's been willing to stand in the gap for you, but it's powerful. It has been said that 9/10 of education is encouragement. Teacher to student, coach to athlete, mentor to mentee, father, mother, son, daughter. I'm going to tell you, I've coached close to 100 people over the years in basketball. And I'm going to tell you, not one of them reach out to me because they have a basketball question anymore. They reach out to me because I encourage them to be their best self. I encourage them to be people of character. I talk to them about what people should expect when we walk in a room. I talk to them about how other teams are going to act, but we're not going to do that. And I told them, I said, that I care about you all individually. I looked them in the face, and some of them looked at me like I'm sure Zacchaeus looked at Jesus. And I told them that I see better for you than what's coming out of your mouth sometimes. I expect better for you. So when we walk in a room, people are going to notice that we're different. They weren't believers. Some of them, few of them over the years accepted Christ. But I told them that they were more important to me than basketball. And when they reach out to me now and they say, happy birthday, coach, it warms my heart because they're not reaching out to me because they want basketball voice. They're reaching out to me because I affected them in their life, and I encourage them, and now they are encouraging me. Acts 9:26-27, we're talking about Barnabas again. It says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. And of course, Paul was a bit of a degenerate as far as they were concerned too, right? Paul was a Pharisee, and he was persecuting the church. He actually got letters that gave him permission to go around and to persecute the people of the way. And so now, all of a sudden, he's flipped. You know, he had his experience on the road to Damascus, and Jesus came down, and he met Jesus, and it says that he had to go and spend some time until he met with Ananias, and the scales again, like, go read the story in Acts chapter 9 and in, I believe, Acts chapter 16 and 22 as well. Go read the account of Paul's conversion. It was transformational, but they didn't know him like this. And so now he's in Jerusalem and he's saying, here, I'm here speaking on behalf of Jesus. And it says, when he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. Of course they were. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. How many people know that Jesus can change the most hardened heart? I've had people say to me, I'm too bad to be a Christian. I was like, you should be in first in line. You give the opportunity to become the biggest miracle and to display the greatest display of God's power. That's what you become. God, nobody is so far gone that they cannot find Jesus and that Jesus cannot reach out to them. It says, then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. And Barnabas was a big reason that Paul was accepted by the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. He stood in and he was willing to be an advocate for Paul. What an encouragement. Think about it. We don't give Barnabas enough credit sometimes. Acts 15, 36 to 41 gives us another example of Barnabas. And this is a good one because it talks about how he deals with conflict. But it says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, he says, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Let's go back and encourage them. And Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. You wondering who John Mark is? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He is the most likely author of the oldest book we have in the New Testament. It was believed that the earliest copy of Mark was written like within 30 years of the past of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's remarkable historically. This is who we're talking about here. And he says, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted him in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. And I'm not even saying that Paul didn't have a good argument. You know, this guy wasn't faithful to me before. Why would I bring him again? But Barnabas saw something different. And their disagreement, it says, that was so sharp that they separated ways. But Barnabas felt a conviction. He saw something in John Mark. And Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. And we know the great stories about Paul and Silas in prison and other things. And he left. The believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches there. And I want you, every time you read Mark, to think about what Barnabas did for him. Think about what the encouragement of a brother or a sister or a friend or a teenager or a child can do. Think about what God can do when you build up the body of Christ in the most holy of faith. Barnabas advocated for John Mark, encouraging him in the missionary work. It is amazing encouragement to know that you have someone who is willing to look past your mistakes and to stick their neck out for you and to say that you are called. I see it on your life. I see what God is going to do through you. There's something miraculous in you. I tried to do that my whole life. Seen people who are trying to learn guitar. If I can, I'll try to give them a guitar. And I'm not trying to do this to blow my own horn. I'm trying to be what other people have been for me because I see what it does in the life of the church. And I might be encouraging a John Mark. And I pray, and I've prayed for people who I've encouraged and had and invited into our life. My wife and I have had, at times, kids, teenagers who trailed around with us. And every time we got in the car to go to a church event, they were in our back seat. And every time we went to a youth event, they were in our back seat. And every time we went to the mall, we looked back, whoa, you're still in our back seat. And they were okay living life with us. And we were okay letting them live life with us because we just believed that it was an encouragement that they needed. And we look at what they're doing. And God spoke to me about one of them particularly and told me that God, he spoke to me and said, she's going to eclipse you in ministry and everything you do. And I'm like, oh, come on, let it be so. Some people would be offended by that. Some people would be put back by that. I cheered it on. And I waited till she wasn't necessarily living exactly the way she probably should have been when he said that to me, and which challenged my own belief in the statement. But I was excited about it. I remember one day in my office, I looked her in the face and I told her that truth. And she said, I'll never be a pastor. Guess what she's doing today? And she's doing it amazingly. And I still believe she's going to eclipse anything I'm going to do for the kingdom. And the generation she's going to reach is going to eclipse what she did, because that's what we're here to do. And I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. Just like I'm going to be these guys' biggest cheerleader. And we need to be the biggest cheerleaders. And we need to support and build people up in the most holy faith. Just listen to Jude's words along these lines. Jude affirms the words, the actions of Barnabas with these words. He says in verse 20, he says, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. And await the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering." Come on. Come on. He says, "Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment." Do you hear the intensity and the urgency in these words? He says, "Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hitting the sins that can contaminate their lives." We're reminded again that inclusion is not compromise, right? One of the greatest encouragements is when someone will fight with us for our spiritual well-being. Who are you willing to jump in the trench with? Who are you willing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with? Who are you willing to be a rod and a staff for? I know Jesus tells us that we are those, that he is those things, but I'm telling you, we are to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can. So if I can be the rod and the staff, if I can be the comfort, if I can be the one who walks through the dark place with somebody, then let me be that Jesus, because that's what I need to do, because you see what this person can be in a greater way than I can. So if you're asking me to encourage them, then I'm going to encourage them in Jesus' name. Lastly, this may be a little bit on the nose, but we encourage through Scripture. I said this last week, and I bring this up a lot in sermons, but I think we overlook this. Sometimes we want the big, you know, miraculous prophecy about our life when Jesus has already told us exactly what we need to do in Scripture. Sometimes we ask God and say, you know, I haven't heard from God, I haven't experienced God, but we're not opening the Word of God. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. That's where it begins and ends, is when you read the Word of God. Just listen to these words in Romans 15, 1-7. It says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this." And he's obviously talking about an issue that's in the church. "We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the Scripture said, The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us, and the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled." It says in verse 5, it says, "May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory." Bless his word. If God lays something on your heart, trust the voice and encourage that person. If God lays someone on your heart, pray into it and say, "God, how you've showed me them, Lord. I see them in the tree. How do I call them out of there? Give me the words to say. What do I need to do? Speak life into them. Invite the Holy Spirit to bring understanding to yourself first and then to them. If God gives you a verse, speak it over their life prophetically. You say, "Well, I'm not a prophet." Speak it over their life prophetically in the name of Jesus. This word is prophetic. The reason may not be revealed to you right away, but God can use you to edify, to exhort, to comfort someone. So trust him in the process. If you are tired, discouraged, afraid, uninspired, worried, broken, you feel overworked, if you feel unappreciated at work, your kids aren't listening to you, the raccoons tore up your garbage, maybe you had the longest week of your life, pick up the word of God and let it encourage you. If you need somewhere to start, call me. I'd be glad to tell you. Or look at that, or call that person who's been encouraging you. Call that person who's quietly come alongside and say, "I need some encouragement. What should I read?" Find an encourager and go spend time with them. Carve out time in your life so the Holy Spirit can encourage you daily. I missed one of my encouragers today. And I know I mentioned Pastor Connie a lot, but since I've come here, man, I've missed her. Since she hasn't, I've missed her smiling face. I would go to her, and I'm a bit of a transparent person, so if I'm going through something, I'm not having the greatest day. The things she would say to me with the smile on her face and the joy that I would feel and the fellowship and the encouragement, she is a Barnabas. Be that, will you? Be that she continues to be. Carve out time in your life so the Holy Spirit can encourage you daily so that you can pass that on to someone else. Encouragement is so much more than platitudes and cliches. As we started this sermon, encouragement is advocacy. It is presence. It is belonging. Encouragement is feeling defended, believed in, lifted up, told the truth even when it's not what we want to hear. Encouragement is motivating people to do what is right, not making them feel bad for the wrong they've done. There are people everywhere adjusting their vantage point. They're climbing trees and they're looking for something real. People say that, you know, people are disillusioned by the church. No, they're not. They're looking for something real. People are more spiritual today than they ever have been. And we have the opportunity to look at them and see them searching and looking and say, come down, let's go eat something together. And we get to see what it does in the life of someone who just needs that someone to come alongside and say, I see you. I hear you. I might not understand everything yet, but I'm here for the long haul. There are people everywhere adjusting their vantage point, like Zacchaeus in the sycamore fig tree, watching and waiting and looking for something real, for some authentic soul to encourage them to come down and say, I actually think I know what you're looking for. And then to live it in front of them. We, like Jesus, can extend mercy and grace through encouragement, through providing a safe place and authenticity, through inclusion and advocacy, with the Word of God lifting us up as our foundation. Amen? So think about it even right now. We're going to sing this song and worship together. And I want you to take some time as we sing this song and we go over these words and we sing. Just talk to Jesus. Say, Jesus, put one name on my heart this week that I can encourage. They may be a believer. They may be someone who's not a believer, who God has designs to become a believer. But pray and say, God, in my heart today, Lord Jesus, who? Place a name on my heart. Give me two or three if you allow it. I'm going to tell you, encouragement is infectious when you see what it does in the life of a human being. It changes circumstances when people come and you expect you to judge and to look down on them, but instead you turn it around and you encourage them and you lift them up. It changes countenance. It changes how they respond. So we want to pray this morning as we sing this next song, and we're going to ask Jesus, put one name on my heart, Jesus. And let's see what we can do this week through the power of encouragement. Amen? Father God, we love you. I don't wake up every day, Lord Jesus, with the encouragement on my heart ready to give away. Lord, sometimes I wake up grouchy. Sure, we all do. Sometimes we don't react the best in certain circumstances, Lord Jesus, but that's why we take the time every day to speak to our Savior, to speak to the great encourager, to speak to the one who comes along and speaks in our dark moments. And we get to say to Jesus, Father, I don't feel great today. I don't feel like an encourager today. I'm kind of discouraged, Lord. I'm overwhelmed with everything I got to do, Lord Jesus. I kind of woke up grouchy, Lord. I had a fight with my wife last night, or I had a fight with my kids last night, or I had a disagreement with somebody at work. I don't feel that great today, Lord. I need you in this moment. Come and fill me with your love. Remind me, oh God, encourage me this morning so that I can be an encouragement to others. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to do that every day, to be able to open your word and be encouraged and challenged and moved. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would place someone on my heart even right now, oh God. Multiple names are coming to my mind even as I'm standing here. Give me opportunity this week to encourage them, even just to let them know I'm thinking about them and praying for them. Let us be a blessing, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for looking at Zacchaeus that day and calling him down out of the destitute place he was, the desperate place he was. And Lord, we see the effect of you on his life, Lord. He immediately wanted to right all the wrongs he had done in society. He wanted to fix the relationship between his brother because Jesus came and said, come have a relationship with me. Lord, let that encouragement that we offer this week have the same effect through the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just worship God together. Pray and ask God for that one name this morning.